This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
It's the Wild Goose Podcast!
Oh, Jeepy Cheewilkins. Goose, as we were rolling in here.
Yeah.
I just noticed there was a DJ on, and mass DJ.
Oh, as well. Wow.
Almost kind of like the, what's the other guy's name?
Dead Mouse,
Dead Rat, whatever.
I had one of them in my house yesterday. Yeah, the cat brought it in.
Good. Did Sammy bring that in?
The kitty cat brought that in.
The cat brought it in.
Okay. Mutilated it and then just put it right on the table for us to eat. It was delicious.
I put some peanut butter on that thing, it'll be delicious.
It spun its last record and then it came into the house.
Okay,
and that was it, and Dead Mouse.
Now we noticed that, this guy's the Mass Murata. I'm not sure. It's almost kind of like a wrestling thing.
Is it Mil Mascaris? You have to have a thing.
You can't just be like a normal guy
spinning a record.
But then again, probably with the DJ thing, if you became a normal guy, that would be your gimmick. Almost kind of. No, I'm just
rebelling
saying.
Rebelling against this.
Where you have the big hair metal and everything that, and then when you come out and you don't wear hairspray,
yeah.
It makes you different.
Right.
So you're doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everyone's wearing masks now, and then we just come out as, like, normal guys. It's like, oh, wow, I've never seen this before.
Right,
you see
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
different.
I just thought it might have been because they were hiding something from, like, work or something. You know what I mean? Like, they're moonlighting.
Witness protection plan, maybe, as well.
Maybe that, a little mafia, who knows? I don't know.
Now, let me get, you know what's so funny? I mean, because you know how, like, a lot of people make a stink about it. I mean, us. I'm saying musicians.
Being real, like musicians. A real musician.
Yeah, whatever.
As they say.
But
right?
What I'm saying is, like, I never really get upset about this stuff just because entertainment is entertainment. Like, put it this way. Being with the kids, I'd always have to take them to go see Barney.
Yeah.
And everything like that. And, like, people go, oh, man, it's Barney thing. And they, like, take the piss out of it. And I go, no, the only thing you should be upset about Barney is the fact that you didn't create it.
Yeah, right.
And your bank account would appreciate you that much more. But I'm just saying, like, it's just so funny to me, like, how... I get it. You know, like how these arguments come up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember they were saying, like, I guess it was at Coachella or one of these festivals. It was like there was 120,000 people
right
to see the DJ that was spinning like AC/DC records.
Amazing,
right? And when the real AC/DC played, there was only 80,000.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
To see them.
Well,
and I go, and like people go, this is absolutely mind. Not mind numb, not blowing, mind numbing.
Did they have a mask on though?
I don't know if they were influenced by Mil Mascaris, the legendary
the mask.
Wrestler.
Back
that
to
we
the
know,
mask.
The greatest. So that I mean, but awesome. Of the mask wrestlers,
exactly.
Although I'm sure he was influenced by people that came before him.
Yeah,
like we all are.
Yeah,
but the thing is this. So one of my friends was like actually losing his mind, just like, oh, this is ridiculous. He goes, the real thing has 80,000 people. And then it's like guys spinning their records has 120,000 people, you know, like 40,000 people more are there to see it. And I was just like, I'm not going to understand. Like, you know, the frustration, like he was just like, this is a joke, man. And I just go, but at the same time, like, no one cares.
No. Nobody gives a shit.
No, they don't.
Well, how sexy was this DJ, though?
I didn't see the dancing. I didn't see the moves. Because... But you have to have moves. But I mean, it is, like you said, it's just another form of entertainment.
Totally. And art, because they're actually good at what they do. I mean, obviously, to get to where they're at, they had to be better than the other DJs.
Yeah, you know I mean, like we were talking about, like when we listen to, like, you know, when we're listening to Yacht Rock, or like when we're in the sub and we're listening to music at the end of the night, whether we're listening to Mahavishnu Orchestra and we're just going, this is out of control, or we're listening to Player saying, Baby, Come Back.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we were talking about how amazing the musicianship is and how all these guys are silly good, ridiculous.
Yeah. Baby Got Back, that was a good one.
Without a doubt, Baby's Got Back.
I don't remember them doing it, but maybe I do. I don't know. Baby Got Back, right? It's it. It's awesome.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's a good one.
But what the whole thing is, it's just like, it really is funny when people are just losing their minds, man.
The musician, the musos.
Yeah, I mean, like, even like the Milli Vanilli thing.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Who cares? I'm exactly. just saying, like, really, at the end of the day, I mean, like, yeah, you go see the Eagles and, like, you know, like, they're killing it, and you know everything up there is real.
Live, right. They're
and
all if singing.
If the background vocals go a little flat or sharp here and there, it's live, and it is what it is. And, or you know, like, when – if Ozzy's having a rough night, you know, and it's live. I get it. You know, people can go, or my guitar goes out of tune or whatever. You know,
it's actually real.
It's real. It's live. Or, it's, you know, if Oz couldn't hit certain notes or whatever, but the show's slamming, but, like, a couple notes, Oz is like, ah, you know, whatever, there's a clam here. Or like, when we're doing a Black Label gig, if I'm at, you know – if I got a bit of a cold or whatever.
What do you mean, Clam Fest?
Oh, yeah, a Clam Fest.
You know, Black Label Show?
Yeah, we love seafood, you know what I mean? So, you know,
oysters, we love them. Clam Bake.
Yeah, it's a Clam Fest, but I mean, you know, which is every night when I pick up a guitar. But I mean, but the thing is this, it's just like, I get it, that's a live show, and it's a rock show.
Right, right.
So I get it, but I mean, but the whole thing is, like when Milli Vanilli was doing her thing, and it's like people would leave that show, and if you interviewed them after the show, you go, excuse me, sir, ma'am, I noticed you here at the show, the Milli Vanilli guy, did you guys have a good time? And it'd be like, oh, my God, it was amazing. The dancing was out of control. Yeah. It was amazing. They sang so good. It was all, and I'm going,
they don't know.
That's all that matters. Did you have a good time? Exactly. Yeah, we had a great time, and now we're going out for drinks with our friends, and we're going to have a blast. It's
like,
you know, I mean, because I got some of my friends that would just, like, be punching holes through walls, and I'm, like, going, but, like, it doesn't matter. No, I go, they're there to see
it's
that.
It's entertainment.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's it. Like wrestling, you know?
Well, yeah, if anyone's going to lose their mind over wrestling, it is what it is.
When Hulkster lost, I was so upset.
No, it was a brutal moment in Little Giro's house because me being a warrior.
Yeah,
and that was the day he crushed Hulkamania.
Yeah, it was. We were upset.
Oh, it was a beautiful moment. But I mean, all the warriors rejoiced. And Hulkamania. Yeah. It was a tearful day.
It really was
at Giro's residence.
Yeah, and
at
the Servio compound.
Yeah, Little Giro was probably maybe seven, 6 years old. Yeah, it just crushed. Right. His Uncle Zach's just rubbing it in.
And we're like 29.
52.
I guess so.
Yeah, but hell, win's a win.
That's right.
Suck it up.
But you're entertained, man. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Totally. But like anybody losing their mind over wrestling. No, but it's the same thing.
Right. I hear you.
It's just like, what are you worried about?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, how everybody's losing their mind right now over Jake with all these fights with Jake Paul.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is a joke. I go, yeah, but it's entertaining.
It's totally entertaining. How much money are they making and bringing in? How many people are interested?
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
I think it's great.
Well, I hear you.
Father Castillo, Joey Castillo, Joey, you know, because Joe's we're all fight fans.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
talking about like whether it's Roberto Duran and Leonard and Hagler, you know.
Razor Ruddock and Tyson.
Yeah, Hearns and, you know, like all Roberto Duran and everything that. So like we're talking about, you know, you're talking about boxing and stuff like that. You know, him, you know, I always just joke with Joey. He's the Bert Sugarman of Zach Sabbath. You know what I mean? It's like, you know. Boxing historian, right? We're talking about Jack Dempsey and all the guys. So, but you know, this has got him thoroughly disgusted. And I love Jake Paul. I just think it's the greatest thing ever, just because it's just so annoying and
everyone
just driving everybody insane. So I just think,
well, beat
I just
him.
Keep rubbing it in.
Yeah,
you know?
Beat him
because it's hilarious,
right? Has he lost yet?
No.
Well, there you go.
And, well, I think the one was a draw. It came out right. a draw, the last fight he had. And then now when they fought the second time, then he knocked them out. There so, you know, I mean, so, yeah. And, I mean, but the guys he's fighting are chumps. I mean, these guys are like, they're MMA guys.
Right.
Mind you, they're not professional boxers, but, Jake doesn't claim to be a pro boxer either. He's just no, I enjoy boxing and everything like that. But I'm fighting guys that actually do have skills.
Yeah.
But I mean, but it's driving people insane. Like, I mean, purists. The comments.
Yeah, I know.
The boxing purists.
It's the same thing. Like, when I was at Berkeley, the jazzers, the purists, they hated the rock thing. It's just, everybody's got to hate on something, man. You know what I mean? They're like, I don't know.
I just think it's pretty hilarious.
It's hysterical.
But Daniel like said, Cormier I mean, said he would thing, not
God,
train
God bless
him.
You. You know, if that's, then don't go.
Yeah.
Change the channel, man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I hear you. You don't have to fucking watch it. You can just put on whatever you want.
Yeah.
Put on Barney.
Yeah. Put on Barney. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do.
Love Barney.
But yeah, I think it's pretty hilarious. But I mean, it's just, for the real musician guys, but I get it. You know, you're like, how's this guy, you know?
How's he feeling stadiums?
This guy
stadiums?
Owns several houses.
I know.
This guy owns cars, and I can't even pay my light bills. You know what I mean? I know how to play. But, I mean.
They found a niche, man, and how many.
Well, it's just like the Pep Rock.
Millions of
you
kids.
Know, just like, how'd this guy find, or, you know, it's just like, well. or just like, you know, we went to culinary school. And, you know, one of our buddies is just still struggling at the restaurant. He's like, man, I smoked JD and Zach at culinary school. They were just hacks when we were there at school. I go, yeah, but we came up with Hooters.
Exactly.
That's, you have to have something.
Different.
Or just have something that
good.
People want.
Totally, like that everybody would totally go to, like Hooters.
Well, I'm just saying, like any of my, you know, any of our jazzers or any of our buddies that are just pure shredaholics. It's mm-hmm. just like they'll look at CC DeVille or Poison. I go, but they have something.
They have something that people want.
People enjoy.
That's right. It's like McDonald's, whatever.
Without a doubt.
You know, why are there so many of them?
No, and we're sitting here, we have a high-end steakhouse, and we're like, look at these guys.
I know.
You know, and it's like, well, you should have came up with the cheeseburger joint.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Or just, you know. Have the steakhouse on the side, but make sure you come up with the
something that more people want to go to.
Yeah, that'll clog your veins.
Hey, artery clogging the light.
Colon clogged the light. So let's just call it that.
Clogged,
yeah.
Colon clogged the light. is that the catchphrase or is that the name?
Yes, that's a special.
Is that a special? That's a good one.
Clogs the anus and brings up the and the arteries as well.
It's kind of like Imodium. Just stops everything. That's fucking awesome.
And then we have the shake, the liquid Drano shake.
Barium enema shit or whatever.
So it good. Saves you at the same time. So you should probably order both. You see what I'm saying?
And be safe.
If you're going to get the colon clog, make sure you order our shake.
Yeah.
The Roto-Rooter.
Exactly. Even it all out.
I'll drink to that.
Heavily. So back to the DJs.
The Meal Mascaris of DJ. But no, it is a. But like you said, people enjoy it. So what's the problem with it?
I don't care. I mean, really, they're doing what they love, and millions of kids love this shit. I mean, I think it's a lot to do with the drugs shit they're on. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the best was with Oz. I remember when I first joined the band, when we were over in working on the No Rest for the Wicked. Mm-hmm. Me and Phil and Randy went down to a club, because we were in Brighton. So I think we might have went down to a bar down there, or we drove into London. But I remember we went to some club, and it was the first time I realized what was going on. You know, we were at some like rave club or dance club type thing. And I was like, guys, you want a Heineken or a Beck's or, you know, a Jack and Coke or whatever, vodka and cranberry, whatever. So all I remember is I went up to go get us drinks, and everybody in the place was drinking water.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. I was like, water?
Yeah.
Who drinks water at a bar?
Drug addicts.
Or a club? like, what are we doing here? The whole point is to get hammered. So, I mean, they were just like, and they were like, no, jackass, you have no idea what's going on. They're already about 600 drinks ahead of you.
Without a doubt.
And so that's what I realized with the whole ecstasy thing and everything. Yeah. No, but that's why I guess the rule is don't be drinking booze if you're doing taking ecstasy or whatever it is.
That's how I got my girlfriend, by the way.
That's how I got Barb. She's still chained up in the basement.
Oh my God. Heavily sedated.
She doesn't even know we have kids yet.
To be with you, she definitely has to be sedated.
She has no idea, doesn't know what Black Label is, doesn't know we have four children.
Oh, she cares about the kids. You and Black Label, not so much.
Not so much. It is so funny. Sometimes I just I go, if you didn't know me, I'm just trying to picture like us being at a club.
Right.
And I just come over to buy you a drink because I think you're hot.
Yeah.
I got a feeling this ain't panning out.
I think she'd give you her keys to park your car.
She would. No. Yeah, not. Is this the keys to your room? No. It's the keys of my car. Can't park it, pal.
That's about
Without a doubt.
That would be that one.
I really think so.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. She can say whatever she wants, but I without a doubt.
Well, now, yeah.
Well, have her come to a Black Label show. She would go, now,
get me out of here.
First off, she wouldn't be impressed. That would just be right there. Like, definitely don't want to get involved.
Well, this is the main attraction here, so of course
she
doesn't.
She goes, I don't want in this ride. I don't want this product. I'll pass.
I'll pass. I'll pass. Respectfully pass.
Put that back on the shelf.
Exactly.
I'm still shopping. But, I think... Well, I don't know. I think there's more choices. But then again, you know, like I was just thinking about the DJ thing when we were watching it when we came in here. Like, I mean, this has been going on, the DJ thing with Studio 54.
Forever.
Back in the 70s. And like we talked about that before.
Yeah.
Everything kind of has that four-year, that high school shelf life.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm saying whether it's Van Halen, you know, like Lightning in a Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And that it had that four-year shelf life, and then everything just starts changing. Fashion, the world, you know, like the 50s, you had, you know, like the movie American Graffiti.
Yeah.
You had the Hot Rods and everything like that, and you had doo-wop, then Chuck Berry and Elvis.
And it all evolves into something
and
else.
And then it kind of,
a few years
by
later.
The end of the 50s, we're moving at 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 60. Everything started like, wow, you still listen to that stuff? Or like, you still wear that stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and it's funny because—
Within 5 years, you know, like—
Without a doubt. I mean, like, I look at, like, when you look at the hair metal. I mean, because we're so entangled in that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it started— From the 70s, mid, late 70s, you had the glam stuff and everything where the layered hair started coming in, then the hairspray. But, I mean, at least even though Keith Richards had a shag.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then we St. Rhodes had the shag. And then, but when you look at Van Halen coming in, they spawned that whole thing. But, I mean, but they still look timeless. Like when you look at early pictures of Van Halen, and then you look at pictures of St. Rhodes, he still looks timeless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look like a time piece.
No, because they didn't have the massive big hair and all this other bullshit.
It still looks timeless. Whereas, like,
people will put to a time, like you're saying, you know what I mean?
Yes. But as soon as the early 80s came rolling in, and then forget about it, by the time 85, and then even when I first started rolling with the Boss, the hair was completely poofy and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas it really is a timepiece.
Without a doubt.
And after Guns N' Roses stopped after Sweet Child of Mine is when it kind of, there was no more poofy hair.
Because the beginning he was, you know, totally.
Yeah, in the beginning it was still the big hair.
I mean, everybody. I mean, Pantera.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying? The beginning, but and then after that, then they
just went down.
Yeah, then they found where they... Where the direction was and what we're going to be. And then it was like, all right, well, we don't need that anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, but the thing is, it just morphs into other things. But like you're talking about, like that DJ thing, it's been around forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like you look at these rave clubs. I was just like watching that video. I go, this is no different than Studio 54.
Really?
What's the difference? Everybody, the music's cranking, the lights are going, everybody's
except for now, they're taking
partying.
Studio 54 all over the country and the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think, and the same thing with Studio 54, if it would have kept going, and it's still there, it would be what's going on now, and then they would have, like, you know, yeah, Friday nights would be 1979 night. You know what I mean? Or 1978. Yeah, yeah. Retro night. And yeah, like everybody comes down there dressed like the 70s crank, everything that was going on in 1978.
Right.
And everybody's having a good time. But, you know, you have like theme nights. But mm-hmm. I mean, but they would just go with the, you just change with the times. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, because so, everything, it moves fast, man. It's crazy. Like that, you said, that 4 year period. It goes by like that, and then you're on to the next thing, you know, just like that.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty much 4 years is like a high school span.
Yeah, it's like a good run for a big successful thing. 4 years, I mean, that's
yeah,
pretty
I mean, like, another for that, you look for at, like, when Cream came in and the whole, you know, how, like, how you had rap rock yeah. and everything, when that became really popular, yeah. we had the riff, and then you have a guy rapping, and then it's a chorus.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of the formula for a little while, but like everybody started doing it.
Yeah.
Just like how in the late 60s, after Cream came out, everybody's like, it's high energy, yeah. aggressive blues yeah, riffs. Yeah,
exactly.
And like everybody started doing it. You know, I'm just yeah. saying, Cream, then you have Mountain, then you yeah. have Zeppelin, then you yeah. have Purple, Sabbath, and you know, and then it just keeps going. You have Cactus and everything. Yeah. I mean, it's just like nothing but riffs.
Yep.
No chords.
No.
All riffs.
And heavier guitar sounds.
Yeah.
You know, than the 60s, you know, than it was.
Totally.
You know, Jimmy, I guess, was, well, who was the first, really? Like you said.
Cream.
Yeah.
Flat out. Sunshine of Your Love, I have to say, is the first heavy metal riff of all time. Cream started it all.
Yeah. Like we said, your Sabbath songs.
No, and not only that, Cream had all the improv, too.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just saying, because improv was big back then.
Course.
But if you really look at it, I mean, and it that was the big thing from the late 60s, early 70s was just improv.
Yeah.
Stretching out jams and then the Allman Brothers and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, even when we were kids, you know, growing up in the 70s, I used to look at the record, and if it was an 8-minute song, that was the one I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And especially back then, we wanted the live records because it was just more jams. You know what I mean? Nowadays, I'm the opposite. I want to just hear the studio records.
As much as I love listening to, like, Since I've Been Loving You, you know, what's that one? I mean, Jimmy Page is killing it on the live records.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm just trying to picture, you know, I'm saying even in the 90s, Soundgarden trying to do a blues jam. I just forget about it.
Yeah,
No, I'm saying that no matter how good it was and Kim is killing it or whatever,
it doesn't fit in. It's a square peg in a round
hole. People's attention spans are gone.
No, definitely.
I'm saying in order for them to be still, I mean, at Madison Square Garden, six nights playing blues, you know, like a 12-minute jam.
I know. Drum solo. 10-15-minute drum solo.
Half hour drum solo.
Whatever, exactly.
It was his father's Lowe's, Niels Lowe's, how he tells me. He said he was shooting Zeppelin at the Forum or something like that. He said, came back into the, they were all back, and he was doing Bonzo's, you know, 2 hour and 28 minute drum solo. Yeah. And the concert was 2 hours and 30 minutes. 2:28 was Bonzo
He's
crushing.
Still playing it.
Still going. People are leaving. Fortitude on this man.
People are leaving.
Nobody said he goes back into the green room in the catering or whatever. Everybody's back there.
The band, everybody.
Everybody's back there drinking,
partying,
eating chips, hanging out, just hang. And Robert peeked his head in, and he said, he was like, "What's the matter? No one likes the drums solo." but like you said, though, these half-hour drum solos, half-hour guitar solos, what I mean, but that's what was in, and everybody did them.
That's what was in, totally.
Everybody did
them. And it was all new, you know, and especially that whole explosion. It was so exciting.
No, but then, like you said,
you know?
Then you look at Mahavishnu, then you look at, that's 1969-70, and then you have that, then you have Yes, then you have Gentle Giant, then you have, like, I'm saying the whole prog movement, ELP, everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking where you've got to have chops at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, these are cats that
Because they were listening to jazz and bebop and fusion, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt. But like you said, that explosion of fusion lasted, and then you had Return to Forever, you had the Dixie Dregs, you had everything, and then, you know, Pontefract was making his solo records. So it lasted pretty much. I mean, he was doing a Race with Devil in 77, 70, and then King Edward is coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, and actually, Pat Martino has an album called Joyous Lake. It's insane shredding.
He was
jazz.
Unbelievable.
But I mean, like, of chops, silly chops.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had between those three records of
insane
musicianship like such a silly level.
Forget it.
And but what I'm saying is, so like, and that just led into the 80s when you really think about it, like, everybody had to up their game.
Mm-hmm.
And they forget about it. I mean, after, you know, then you have St. Rose, and then after Yngwie exploded when that meteor hit the planet.
Everybody even stepped up the game more.
That was crazy. Clancy, Derek Sherinian, the Burbank chapter.
Guys, now you have people like Tosin Abasi, who's like, fuck.
Without a doubt. At five, well, Tosin's later on. But what I'm just saying is, like, we were saying when Yngwie hit.
It was like a meteor.
Derek said they opened up wards at Berkeley, because you were there with them.
Mm-hmm.
They had wards opened up with all the Bach stuff, and then after that, Paganini stuff and everything like that.
He influenced everybody.
Just because of him.
Totally. He was a massive influence on the world, and, you know, people hate him, love him, whatever. We love him. And he inspired a whole generation.
Oh, it's undeniable.
And a whole genre. Yeah. I mean, Ritchie Blackmore and Uli was doing it. You know, they were doing it. And Randy, you know, the classical the kind of thing. You know, but then when Yngwie came out, it was kind of
That's a whole nother level, though. I mean, that's all in.
When I heard Steeler for the first time, it was like, I thought it was Al Di Meola because it started with the acoustic. And then he busted into the electric, and it was like Eddie, like, even faster and crazier and insane.
And Gus G clean.
Gus G clean. That's what we in the studio when Zachy's getting a little sloppy in there. I said, come on, buddy. Step it up.
No, pick it up a notch. Gus G clean. That's when you know you've got the tape.
That's right. But he made his mark, man, for sure. And even other bands then, like Priest, Tipton, he kind of, you know, he upped his game, I think.
Of all of them.
Yeah. You know, after Yngwie came
out. And Tony.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that Tony was before that, but I mean, I'm saying Tony's playing on Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Everything definitely. Just, it evolved more.
Yeah.
It got more chops.
Well, it's because Ed came out, I think, too.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the game was changing.
Yes.
It was really getting technically insane. But I mean, it already was. I mean, but in rock, not so much. The fusion thing for sure with McLaughlin and Al and all, you know.
Yes.
And everybody, you know.
Race with Devil was that's 77.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Totally. So, and then when Eddie came out, it was, you know, that was the meteor. And then, you know, Yngwie was the later meteor. But when Eddie came out, man.
But like you said, the 80s was, if you, we owned a guitar magazine in the 80s.
Oh, you were
loving it. We don't have to worry about, who are we going to put on the cover this month?
Exactly. There was 20 people.
There was a ton of amazing players then. You know, between Vivian Campbell, Warren DeMartini.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying you had
George Lynch, everybody.
Yeah, George Lynch, a ton of massive,
Randy,
amazing
Eddie,
guys.
I mean, yeah. Everybody was just slamming, you know?
No, totally.
And it was definitely a special time, you know? And it's obviously everything, like we said, moves on and changes and evolves, you know?
But I think, you know, just like with anything, it's just like that, it runs its course and then we're on to the next thing.
Yeah. Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's just like you said, it's like that high school lifespan.
Yeah.
And like you said, if it goes past 4 years, then that's like really a good run.
Yeah. If you could have really a good success in that time, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, professional wrestling, when you really think about it, like, we'd have to say number one of all time would have to be the Hulkster.
No, without a doubt.
Be in regard to his run, before it wears out its welcome and people are just over it.
I mean,
already.
He spanned decades.
Hulk Hogan still gets pops.
Yes.
I mean, he does, yeah.
But I'm talking about when he first hit his incarnation of, you know, when he finally found Hulk Hogan, I'm talking with the yellow shorts before Hollywood Hogan, before he had to evolve. No, where it's just like, I got to come up with a new shtick because I can't keep hitting them with the same thing all the time because people are getting over it. But I'm saying the take your vitamins and say your prayers.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Where my nephew, little Jiro, Jiro probably through his whole childhood into his teenage years, the Hulkster was there.
Right.
With the same shtick.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Before he changed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what I'm saying is that is an amazing run. I mean, because I'm a Warrior guy. The Warrior hit, you know, was like, it was 85, 86, 87, and then 88 is when it started finding its niche. And then it was 89, and then 90 was against Hogan.
Yeah, and that was the pin.
And then it was 91, and then after that, it was kind of done.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, people loved Hulk's personality, you know, and that's a big thing. I mean, people loved the Warrior, too, but I don't know if they loved him as much as the Hulkster.
No, I mean,
you know?
I loved him just because of the energy and the whole thing and just, you know, the Warriors and all the, and the parts unknown and everything. I loved his character and everything like that. But
yeah, totally.
But the you know, and his whole thing, face all your challenges and all, you know, the ultimate challenge and everything like that. And just like, he fears nothing, you know what I mean? So it's just like, just destroy and conquer. So, I mean, the whole thing is that, I love that aspect of the whole thing. But like you said, the Hulk's run was...
Oh, totally.
It was insane how long it lasted before he actually had to change the shtick.
Yeah.
And
remember, then he was a bad guy for a minute.
Yeah, you know? Which was great. I mean, I'm saying for him to evolve the character.
Yeah, yeah. Because he had a change.
Yeah, and he had to get, and he got a good lifespan out of that.
It's like Fonzie still hanging out at Arnold's.
Exactly. You know what I mean? No, but the same thing. We talked about that. Remember, it was just like everyone had grown up. You had Richie had a successful business.
And he's gone.
He's married, has kids. Like everybody's moved on, his own successful businesses.
So Fonzie bought Arnold's.
But no, he didn't even buy Arnold's. He still lives at the Cunningham's.
Oh, well, but he upstairs. Bought Arnold's. Remember him and Al?
Did they buy?
Yes, they were partners. Come on.
I was out by then.
And anybody's still living in above the garage at the Cunningham's.
Was that after the shark?
The Fonzie.
After you jumped the shark.
Oh, that was that claim. There you go.
Just think about the impact of Jaws, because we're both Jaws.
I hear you.
Jaws was so massive. Think about the impact of Jaws. The fact that me and JD couldn't sit on a toilet bowl actually, it came up just recently. I'm turning 55 today. It wasn't until my 52nd birthday that I was able to sit on a toilet again.
Exactly.
So that's how much this movie actually
It was horrible
me.
Going over his house, let me tell you, man. There was shit everywhere.
Everywhere. But the whole thing is this. But the thing is this. A movie so massive, it actually impacted Evel Knievel doing a jump.
I hear you.
And Happy Days involving jumping over sharks.
I know.
That's the impact.
He was amazing.
It would be great if it was on like Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything like that. But then even Saturday Night Live, you had Land Shark.
Oh, totally. So, that was the best, man. He was
the Land Shark. Land Shark.
Candygram. flowers.
I never ordered flowers. And he's still
so
just making up whatever excuse.
Exactly.
But think about it. He infiltrated Saturday Night Live. But I'm saying that movie,
everything.
The power.
It really was amazing.
Without a doubt, man.
And the time, you know, back then, it was just.
But like we were saying, though, like Happy Days, like it ran its course.
And then they had a change.
Well, what are we supposed to do with the show now? I mean, it kind of the.
Right. The 50s are over.
Yes.
We have to get into the 60s now. And
the whole cast is getting older.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know anybody.
Yeah, like Joni started off as the teenage sister.
Yeah.
And now she's a grown woman. How are we supposed to?
Exactly. Yeah.
How are we supposed
it's
to?
Not like a cartoon where it can stay the same, you know?
Yeah, it's like fucking, we can't act like she's still in high school.
Yeah, right. We have to make the script now. And then she became the main character, basically.
Well, then they had Joni and Chachi.
Yeah, Joni loves Chachi.
But I'm saying, like you said, I mean, like, how long did actually Happy Days last? Five years?
No, it was more than that, definitely, man. Oh, without a doubt.
It was massive, but I'm saying before we have to start evolving here.
Right, before, exactly. The meteor, like, the massive effect of
11.
It, It was on for 11 years. But the first 5-6 years is really where it was massive.
And yeah, where no one's really changing was what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
For 5-6 years, we almost the setting stay, is still right. Arnold's.
Right.
And the living room at the Cunninghams. Yep. And Fonzie's room above the Cunningham's house.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
So what I'm just saying is, like, after a while, it's like, you know, it's 1972 now.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Right.
You know, like, what are we supposed to do? It's still, you know, we're still going to live by
it. Fonzie's 50. He's still beating up bullies
gray
in high school. Now he's getting arrested for beating up kids.
63 years old. Still hitting the jukebox. Yeah, right.
Fonz, you got to stop.
Fonzie's 63 years old.
He's doing 5 to 10 for beating up a 14-year-old. He was fucking with Spike.
But he's still dressed exactly the same.
Exactly.
The cuffs rolled up. The jeans. Yeah,
Spike's got 3 kids at this point.
Yes, brother. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Well, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with some more useless content and show of no, absolutely zero nutritional value.
Zero.
Wild goose.